This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Tomorrow, after a year of community input, River City Company will outline its plan for the future of Chattanooga's downtown riverfront. That plan, known as One Riverfront, will be detailed at two in-person sessions at the Tennessee Aquarium, with a presentation also posted online. Dawn Gelsett is with River City Company. Dawn, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about One Riverfront.
This is a community planning process that kicked off last year. Like everything, the pandemic kind of put some hiccups into it, but actually looking back, it gave us a lot of opportunities to hear from the community, listen to them about things that they would like to see different in the riverfront area, the riverfront district near the aquarium. So after hearing from thousands of residents, hearing about what they would like to see in the riverfront, different amenities, different types of programming, we are finally presenting the final plan at our community reveal session tomorrow.
Can you give us a little hint, at least the thrust of where this is going?
If you've been a part of any of the planning process, you have heard us talk about aspirations for the riverfront and really strategies to start the transformation down there. And so at the reveal, you'll hear about all four of the aspirations and eight strategies that we have. I can tell you today that we heard many comments from people that simple amenities like restrooms, shade, different types of programming and activation in the riverfront is desired. And so you'll see that reflected in the plan.
Because one of those that you just mentioned is about connecting or deepening the connection between the Riverwalk and the rest of downtown.
That's correct. This plan does include looking at spaces up Broad Street. It does look at the Riverwalk. And so how can we better connect the community to the riverfront itself?
And talk more about what we like to call a sense of place.
When you go to the riverfront right now, and community comments that we heard was that it's beautiful. It's great to look at, but there's not much to keep me here. There's amazing amenities like the aquarium and the Creative Discovery Museum. But when I get physically to the riverfront, what am I supposed to do? And so in the plan, you'll see about ways that we're going to address and create this sense of place.
And another goal, fostering social and economic equity so that the space is genuinely for everyone.
That's correct. I don't want to reveal too much because I do want people to participate tomorrow. And if you're not able to come in person, because we are asking for RSVPs ahead of time, there is limited seating in the River Journey Auditorium. And so if you're not able to attend in person, we will have a recording online. And yes, you will see that parts of the presentation will include ideas and concepts of ways to increase localized business, to increase affordable housing, to also attract women and minority-owned businesses to the riverfront as well.
Beyond the presentation, where is the process?
So that's where the fun starts. Not that we haven't had fun getting community input, but starting off with the implementation, you're going to see a lot of events and programming happening in the riverfront. And so that'll be the first phase that you'll see a lot of more activation. We're going to have a family fun day on August 7th, where it's going to be kite building and games and soccer in the riverfront. And then you'll see more and more that is reflective of what the community told us.
And this is all about writing the next chapter for the riverfront, taking what's there that already connects to so many people and building on that.
That's right. What they did decades ago was amazing. And Chattanooga still is seen as someone that did it right, that was able to bring activity to the riverfront. But today we're going to do a refresh. We're going to add things to it that speak to people that live here today.
And for people who want more information about the presentation, where can they go?
They can go to OneRiverfrontCHA.com. We'll have a presentation in the morning, and then we'll have a presentation in the evening, and then, of course, a presentation recorded online.
All right. Dawn, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Imagine poetry among the sculptures outdoors. On Thursday at 7 p.m., Christian J. Collier will share his poetry at Sculpture Fields here in Chattanooga for the latest Southbound from Southern Lit Alliance. I spoke with him and Linda Levan, Executive Director of Southern Lit Alliance. Christian, Linda, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks for having us.
How do you envision this unfolding, Christian, with the spoken word?
That's an interesting question. You know, I've actually never been to the sculpture fields. So due to some of the commitments and everything that I have, I'm not sure if I'm going to have the opportunity to visit before the event, which I kind of like. I always like kind of responding to the energy of a place. And this will be my first time reading in front of an audience since the pandemic hit. So I don't really know what this thing that I've spent so much of my life doing looks like right now. You know, that's an exciting thing to kind of step into. I mean, on paper, it's going to be people of varying size in a fixed place. You know, we're going to be at the sculpture fields. But so much of that space gets filled in just with different bodies and different energy in the room. And in this place, a natural setting, I'm actually going to be doing work that most people probably haven't heard before. And this will be the first time that I've actually read these things to other people, too. So it feels really exciting for me. Like there are a lot of unknowns. And I think for anybody who's done anything in any arena, you know, for a pronounced period of time, those unknowns tend to kind of dwindle down. There are certain things that you can kind of account for just going into it. And a lot of those boxes aren't checked this time around. So I'm very much giving myself over to the process and we're going to figure it out together. And that is very exciting for me. I can't tell you the last time that I felt that.
We're picking a spot where multiple sculptures can be seen at a time to be just a great multi-art genre experience, having that as the background. It also serves another purpose. This is the first in-person event we have had since the pandemic and thought, hey, let's do it outside, sort of ease it in. So it'll be the first. And then in the fall, we will have more in-person indoors.
A creative way for that first in-person event, embracing people who still want to stay a little distant.
Yes. And we have a great spot with their pavilion to have some wine and cheese and refreshments and just really have a great experience for everybody.
And Christian, without giving away the new material, give us an idea of where you might be going with some of it. How much of this has been informed by the events of the past year and a half, for example?
I think a good bit of it. I was looking at some of the featured artwork online and came across one piece in particular. It's Jason Kimes, who I believe is an artist from Mississippi. His piece, The Least Amount of Space, which is a large brown body that's just kind of crumpled over. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, I have a whole bunch of work that I feel like, you know, I can kind of maneuver through and around this thing. And so that's kind of my central point of focus. Yeah, a lot of the work that I've been kind of refining for the course of the past year has ended up in a chapbook that's going to be coming out a little bit later this year called The Gleaming of the Blade. And really, a lot of that work is an examination and an interrogation of what it means to exist as a brown body in this contemporary space that we're in this region, in this country. The different ways that you are both seen and unseen. So there's a lot of wiggle room, a lot of space for me to play with there. So I'm going to be doing some poems that kind of speak to that and also kind of chime off of that and speak to some other things too. The world is an ever-evolving, interesting place to live in. So there's always context, even unforeseen context, when you have something set in mind. So there are a number of themes that I'm going to be touching on. But yeah, it all kind of circles back to that one particular Jason Kimes piece.
How did this idea come together of you reciting, performing these works out there at sculpture fields?
Well, we've known Christian for a long time and are just huge fans, not only of his writing, but his performance ability and his presence when he's reciting these pieces just gives me goosebumps, I'll tell you. And I thought, what a great presence to put outside, because I just see Christian being able to grab attention even in such an expansive feeling area. Just a great connection to the outdoors with his passionate work. So it was a good match. We were looking for a place to do outside. I thought about sculpture fields and thought, okay, who could I match with that?
And this is yet another opportunity to show yet another side of all things literary right here in the heart of Chattanooga.
Yes, that's what Southern Lit Alliance is about. We are really wanting to encourage passionate readers and writers. So we bring in authors and poets to talk about the work, to share their work, as well as provide opportunities for people to write and to learn more about that side too.
And Christian, what are you hearing these days from your fellow poets, your peers and your friends in that community?
Ah, man, you know, I'm hearing a bunch of different things, and I am really blessed to have a number of writer friends from all over the country, you know, and we're all encountering different things. Some of my my friends out west are dealing with ungodly heat. Some of the ones who are in the state are kind of dealing with some of the health issues and things that obviously we're all contending with. But yeah, we're all encountering different things. And usually when we talk, we're not actually really talking about like the work that we're doing. And that's kind of an interesting development. I think we're all just kind of really trying to process the world as we're encountering it. Invariably, that's going to factor itself into the work that we make anyway. But we're just having those human conversations. And I think the moment that we're living in especially is one in which connection, true connection, you know, it's had to change a little bit. We've all had to adjust to different degrees. And I think that just having the ability to check in and make sure that we're okay as people first, you know, I think so often we tend to just think in terms of like, well, I'm an artist and yeah, we're all artists. Yeah. But how are we doing as people? How's our mental health? How's all of that? So we're having a lot more of those conversations.
And Linda, are you hearing much the same from people in literary circles around you?
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement about being able to come back and do things in person and have events and get together, and a lot of joy around that. And so I sense a lot of energy among people who are writing as well as bringing their work.
And if people want more information about Southbound, Christian Collier at Sculpture Fields, Linda, where can they go online?
So southernlitalliance.org. The event is July the 29th at 7 p.m. So I hope it's a little later in case it's hot and we can enjoy the sunset.
All right. Linda, Christian, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
Amiga Circle is a podcast series of interviews with Latino leaders and changemakers on a variety of topics. The host is Jocelyn Loza, founder of Latina Professionals of Chattanooga.
Jocelyn, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Ray, for having me.
Tell us more about the podcast.
Latina Professionals, due to COVID, we actually had to cancel all in-person networking events that we usually have every year. And so another way to stay connected was starting a podcast. Initially, it was not my idea to have a podcast, but I felt like we needed to stay connected with our supporters and, you know, with our members and with the community and to let them know, hey, we're still here. We want to still highlight topics that need to be still highlighted within the Latino community. And then I decided, you know what, let's start it first as Instagram live interviews. So it started as Instagram live interviews where we had the guests come and talk about topics that were currently happening during COVID, like what they were going through with COVID, if they were feeling isolated, how they were managing the whole situation with COVID, how it affected their family, themselves, their employment, and also for them providing resources for our listeners. So I wanted to make sure that the topics that were being talked about during that time were related during COVID. You know, we were all in this together. And so really providing the feedback and the resources. And then from there, we were getting good feedback and people were liking the Instagram live interviews. And so that's when I headed to that direction of, why don't we just do a podcast?
And from there, you're aiming for a mix.
Exactly. So we talk about various topics. Again, current events, financing, family, entrepreneurship, health, personal stories, adversities, successes, everything that we go through every day. Our COVID episode was actually a spinoff of our current podcast, which is called Amiga Circle. So we did a separate COVID podcast episodes for that, which were in English and in Spanish. And most of our episodes are in Spanglish, so anyone can go and listen to them.
And you remind folks at the beginning of each episode.
Exactly. So they know what they're getting themselves into. And we also have an intro where we talk about letting them know, like a preview of what we're going to talk about in these episodes. And it's everyday life situations, like I mentioned, adversities and great advice. Whoever's listening, they don't have to be Latino to listen to this podcast. It's everyday life situations that we go through. Again, we talk about entrepreneurship, health, an episode that I'm going to be airing soon. We're going to talk about mental health. So things, again, that need to be talked about in our community that are not highlighted.
What are some of the things that you have learned through this podcast? One, just learning how to do a podcast or do a podcast like this.
Well, yeah, obviously that's one. I've learned how to create a podcast, how to create the content. Even though I've created content as a marketer, you know, I create content for social media and for websites, web development. But this is a different type of content because it has to be content that is appealing, content that is relatable, more of a personal level being relatable. So that was a learning curve. But then again, I had great feedback from people who have done podcast episodes or who are very successful in doing that. So I was able to reach out to people that I didn't even know via social media, and they just, you know, gave great advice and feedback. What I also learned is that, which I already knew, we have so many great Latino influence leaders here in the Chattanooga area alone, but nationally. It's just highlighting so many great people, and it helped for all of us to stay connected and not be in silos. But it also created a larger network, more of a digital network, where people can go and say, hey, I want to connect with this person and I'm in the same situation. So it just helped me learn that no matter what platform I'm in, if it's in person or social or digital, you still have to keep that connection.
What are some other topics that you are covering or thinking about covering in the next few weeks, next few months?
Well, there is an episode where I'm going to dive in more into the entrepreneurship area and also highlighting a couple of topics that are current event topics. The podcast itself highlights more Latinas. But I think like a few weeks ago, I know I highlighted a Latino male in our area. So I'm going to be heading in that direction where I'm going to highlight more of maybe even a partnership. I know I have an episode coming up where it's husband and wife, and they talk about their business and entrepreneurship, family, balancing all those things, and how they got to where they got to, and the resources. So it's all about, again, resources, developing that connection online, highlighting change makers, and just keeping us together while we go through this still COVID situation.
And for people who want to hear the podcast, want more information, where can they go online?
They can definitely go to our website, which is LatinaProfChat. That's LatinaProfChat.com. And they can find us on Spotify. They can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere they listen on their podcasts.
All right, Jocelyn, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Ray.
And now, part of the Amiga Circle podcast.
Hi, I'm Jocelyn Loza, founder of Latina Professionals. You're listening to Amiga Circle, where we chat with remarkable Latino leaders and change makers about their careers, families, adversities, happy moments, and everything in between. All of our conversations are recorded in English or Spanglish.
Julie Alma, the founder of Investing Latina, an online community for financially powerful women. She is an award-winning money expert, writer, and YouTuber that covers topics around personal finance, investing, and entrepreneurship. Her money philosophies have inspired thousands of women to live minimally and spend intentionally so that they can invest more. Hi, Julie. I am so excited to have you on to talk about investments, a topic that is rarely talked about in Latino households.
So my first question involves family and your Dominican Latino culture. Did your culture, your family, or an experience influence you or influenced your decision in getting involved in the financial industry?
Well, for me, it was very, very interesting because I was born in the Dominican Republic. I'm an immigrant here in the United States, and I had no idea about the stock market. I had no idea about investing. My parents were just entrepreneurs. They had a bodega here in New York, and that's what they did. They made money, but they didn't know anything about investing. They didn't know anything about the market. So in my situation, I definitely had to figure it out. But I will say that my parents did always teach me to be resourceful. Like, they always figured stuff out. And I think that that sort of lesson in life helped me navigate the financial system. So when I got to know the stock market, when I got to investing, I essentially got lucky because I started working at a nonprofit and they happened to have a 403B. And for me, I had no idea what that meant. The number seemed weird. I had no clue, but they were like, just do it. It's free money. Go ahead. And then a couple of years later, after being consistently investing, I realized how powerful it was. I was like, oh my goodness, this is like an opportunity for me to make more money. And so that led me to really getting more involved. And like I told you, my parents were always super resourceful. Like, and all my mom specifically always loved learning new things. Like I remember her taking classes at night, learning about floral design, learning how to crochet, like all these like fun little things. She has always been a student and she loved learning. And essentially that's what I did, even though I didn't get the knowledge from them specifically. Like, they didn't tell me, oh, hey, open an investment account. They taught me how to figure things out. And that's how I did it. That's how I started investing. And it's been almost 13 years now, which is crazy. But it was literally the best.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots from the Isis Music Hall this afternoon. We have the second part of a wonderful performance. It's a long performance, well over 2 hours on the video, which is, as they all are, available on the Isis Music Hall Facebook page. This is Aaron Burdett, who as a child, according to his bio, discovered John Hiatt and Bob Dylan, Cat Stevens, James Taylor, as well as the Rolling Stones, the Grateful Dead, the Beatles, the Band, and Ricky Lee Jones. They were all on vinyl records in his parents' living room in the mountains of North Carolina. As a budding guitarist and songwriter, he was drawn to powerful communicators like David Wilcox and Tracy Chapman and John Gorka. And then later in his teens, he discovered the inimitable John Prine on a cassette tape dug out of a workshop drawer filled with rusty 16-penny nails on a Wyoming ranch. He rediscovered the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band at the same time in a secondhand store in Wyoming. In his 20s, he was introduced to Doc Watson when he heard him play in the living room of an old farmhouse near Boone in North Carolina. That experience led him to Norman Blake and Tony Rice, David Greer, Tim O'Brien, Daryl Scott, and Gillian Welch. Mix all of those influences together and you have Aaron Burdett, the songwriter and artist you are about to hear. From the Isis Music Hall, this is Aaron Burdett.
So, we have a new album out. And the title was taken from this song, which was, it's not the first single we released, but it's one of the early ones. This song's called Dirt Poor, and actually, many of the people who that song was written about are in this room tonight. I'm not going to tell which ones, but I don't think I'm going to talk about it. I think we'll just play it.
Building a life and building a home, not knowing where it would go.
drinks on the stoop. And what are we doing here? Pulling treasure from another man's trash, praying that the weather would clear. But there ain't no promises here. We were dream rich, but we were dirt poor. Hanging our hopes on a little more. Told each other every night, it's gonna get better if we all live right. It's gonna get better if we all on a Saturday night, remembering what it's all for. Making love, not war. We were dream rich, but we were dirt poor. Hanging our hopes on a little more. Told each other every night, it's gonna get better if we all live right. It's gonna get better if we all live right. To the tears we will cry. Everything has changed. Lines that seemed so certain then have faded into gray. There were parts I wouldn't do again, even if I had the chance. But there's something that I sorely miss about way back then when it was simply us. And we were dream rich, dirt poor, hanging our hopes on a little. Told each other every night, it's gonna get better if we all live right. It's gonna get better if we all. We were dream rich, but we were dirt poor, hanging our hopes on a little more. Told each other every night, it's gonna get better if we all live right. It's gonna get better if we all live right. Tim Prance on the bass and the vocals over there. We've got all these new songs that just came out. I think I'll tell you a little bit about them as we go through. And there'll be a quiz at the end. If you pass, you get to buy a CD. So this song is called Arlo. And I met this fellow down in Georgia. It must have been in 2005, 2004, 2005, maybe 2006. And I'd go play the open mic at Eddie's Attic down there in Decatur. And sometimes my friend Will would go with me. He's sitting here tonight. And so there's this character named Arlo, and he's just a character. That's, I don't know how else to put it. He's sort of a real-life cartoon character in a lot of ways. And I haven't seen him since then, physically, but we keep in touch. I probably text or talk to him twice a week, just about whatever. And for years, after we'd talk, he'd say something. And there's a theme where you need to be careful when you're talking to me. about something with a good story in it, because I will write it down. And he after I'd talk to him, there would be some line he said related to something we were talking about. Like one of the big ones in there was about, I said, I'm going to go read some stories to my daughter. And one of them came from that. I'm not going to tell you which one either. But so we actually have a gig with this guy this Thursday. He's going to open for us when we go down there to play in Decatur. And I guess I've seen him through, you know, you talk to somebody for 15 years, no matter who it is, there's going to be some ups and downs, and there's going to be some experiences. And so I just realized a couple years ago that there was a lot of stuff written on the Arlo sheet, and I really just kind of moved it around and sang a song. And it became a number one song on the Bluegrass Today Grass Icona chart. Arlo's very proud. He's very proud. Doesn't even have a banjo on it, so that's hard to do. Under a white oak in the rain, I'll stay dry for a while anyway. I'll be a grandpa come November. I did okay at the wedding. If I say the right words at the right time, I can come off as a pretty good guy. One more stop along the way, load me up heavy, I can take the pain. I wish I could go back and do it again without the stress, just the happiness. I'm 63 years old now, still living hand to mouth, work at the aluminum plant till Uncle Sam starts paying out 140 by the furnace. 92 outside comes in raw on the left of the building, goes out aircraft grade on the right. One more stop along the way, load me up healthy, I can take the pain. I wish I could go back and do it again without the stress, just the happiness. In time, intention slips away. I never thought I'd see the day when all my children had grown and moved too far away. I'll keep molding metal as long as they can pay, just like they've molded me into what I am today. My mom died on the 16th. I hugged her as I was leaving. I didn't know she was gone till I got the message at home. I had to work that night at the mill. Didn't tell anyone there. Shatterproof goggles on my eyes at break time. I'm in the bathroom to cry. One more stop along the way, load me up heavy, I can take the pain. I wish I could go back and do it again without the stress, just the happiness. Without the stress, just the happiness. Without the stress, just the happiness. Just the happiness. Just the happiness. Arlo's not quite as sad as that song is. Let me give you an example how I twisted it. Load me up heavy, I can take the pain. We were talking about amplifiers and which ones to get next. Because we were, you know, you're like, well, that one's 22 pounds, but this one's 43 pounds. He said, load me up heavy, I can take the pain. He didn't like that I had him drinking High Life in the song. This was his primary complaint. So this is another new song. This is called Written in Red. And there's two songs in here, and I don't remember what the other one is, that were somehow came from something my father-in-law said, my late father-in-law. And after he had passed, I read this interview that somebody did with him, and they asked him about the Bible, and he said, well, I don't know much about most of it. He said, I don't know much about the rest of it, but I just pay attention to the words written in red. And I had never heard that before. And I thought, oh, well, that makes a lot more sense than, seems like with all these world religions, just listening to what the person said makes a lot more sense than the things we tend to argue about. I'm just saying. I've started a song in the wrong key on live radio. I don't mean just a little bit wrong. I mean a lot wrong. had to play through it. See, I didn't know it. The rest of the band knew it right away. I just had this paranoia. I've got a complex about it now.
Complex, yeah.
How's this? This is written in red. Sunday morning, I'll not darken the door of the churches where the word is said to be perfect and pure. They're quoting Bibles, denouncing idols, claiming no questions left. They'd be closer to the truth if they'd only pay attention to the words written in red. Oh, the words written in red. They're the words the wise man said. I steer clear of confusion that people tend to get. Pay attention to the words written in red. I'm not saying that I'm worth saving. I'm hardly a man of God, but I've heard spirits speaking clearly, both in services and bars. It's come from preachers, it's come from prophets, and drunkards hanging their heads. But everywhere I found it, it's only because it sounds like an echo of the words in red. Somewhere
solace in the Bible. Others find it wandering in the hills. I've got trials and I've got troubles. I'm coming in this world and the next. I don't want clergy, I don't want whiskey. Tonight I want the words in red. Confusion that people tend to get, because I only pay attention to the words written in red. I only pay attention to the words written in red.
Told me 5 years ago that I would have just released a legitimate gospel song, I certainly would not have believed you. I don't feel like I have my thoughts together enough to really get into this soapbox yet, but I have been thinking a lot. Since, I don't know, since early last year. I don't know, since all this racial tension was happening over the past few years. I've just been thinking a lot about what it means to grow up in the South and what that means. Does it mean the people you grew up with? Does it mean the town you grew up in? Does it mean the people you learned from? The people you read? You know, and there's some environment to everybody's environment, if you will. But I don't know, it led me to think a lot about small towns. And you know, I grew up in a small town, still live in a small town. It's not as small as it used to be, like most of them around here. I sound like an old man. Doing okay? Is everybody okay? You feeling happy enough? I'm just thrilled to be out playing some music. We've only been doing this for a couple weeks now, so we're still getting our legs under us, but we're doing all right. For me, it's been mostly trying to figure out how to hook all my gear up again, because it's complicated and I don't remember. We played a gig in February, I think. Whenever that thing at the church was, we played at, and I couldn't remember which side this pedal board went on, and I put it back and forth, and I was about to have to just look up old pictures of us playing on the internet. This tune right here is called No Stoplight Town. We stare each other down like someone knows something. They're not telling, never looked farther than the South. Or far ahead is now. It was 10 years ago when my plans ran out. Same small town storefront, antique glass. Same rippled reflection of me moving past, thinking hard about second chances, peeking out from behind the fences. There's nothing can hold you down like the inertia of a sweet little no-stoplight town. And to the left, the valley road,
where the lost and desperate go. A ride will take you down to where the quarry closed. Straight ahead into town, and those who are never leaving. Back behind me is the highway leads to dreaming. And I stand at crossroads with no good examples of which way to go. Thinking hard about second chances, peeking out from behind the fences. There's nothing can hold you down like the inertia of a sweet little no-stoplight town. The boys and girls hanging around in that low side of town, with the poppies and the speed enough, they call it little Afghanistan. I won't claim I've never tried to kill the pain that way. We've all got our crosses and we take our comfort where we can. We've all got our crosses and we take our comfort where we can. Thinking hard about second chances, peeking out from behind the fences. There's nothing can hold you down like the inertia of a sweet little no-stoplight town.
All right. What else you want to talk about? We played in a rock club down in wherever we were last night, Charlotte. And it was one of those places that if you come in the front, feels pretty cool. And by the time you get to the back, you're like, whoa. But we have to come in the back. So I've been there before. Kim had a very different first impression. I said, no, go walk out to the front and walk back this way, and it's less of a letdown. Slower. Like I say, we're still learning. I mean, we recorded these songs last year during the pandemic. I don't know if you've heard of it. And we we're usually in our own little bubbles a little bit when you record, but not like all the time. But it was different. You know, you're often in your own little audio room. You know, you couldn't see anybody's faces while we're playing. And I like your face, Kim.
Thanks. I like your face too, Aaron.
And so it's only just now we've been out getting to play them on stage. And I don't know if you... if this makes any sense to you guys, but you go in and you record a song that you haven't played a lot, and then you get out and you start playing it, and it kind of becomes a different song, but you don't know what it's going to be yet. So this may be something completely different. We'll find out. This is a new song called Loser's Bracket. I'm rising up to the top of the loser's tried. Lord knows I've tried. I'm the kind of man that every woman wants. I've a mind to find one when I sober up. And I've tried, tried. Lord knows I've tried. I've tried. Lord knows I've tried. The top of the loser's bracket is as good as I'm gonna get. It might not look like much to you, but you don't know where I've been. There's hard times and good times intertwining, yet I count them all as blessings, and I'll take what I can get. I'm the hardest worker in the unemployment line. I'll pay you back a penny if you
you'll loan me a dime. And I've tried, trying, Lord knows I've tried, I've tried, Lord knows I've tried. The top of the loser's bracket is good as I'm gonna get. It might not look like much to you, but you don't know where I've been. There's hard times and good times intertwining it. I count them all as blessings and I'll take what I can get.
Burdette, recorded in the Isis Music Hall. The video, as always, available on the Isis Music Hall Facebook page, and definitely worth your time to watch the whole set, which is a lengthy set from a great songwriter from North Carolina. On listener-supported public radio in Chattanooga, this is Scenic Roots.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.